It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
It's a balmy winter Saturday. The sun is ever higher in the sky. The breeze is mild. About half the pastures and lawns are bare, and only a thin layer of slushy, melted, refrozen, and remelted snow covers the rest. The ground is soft. It's the sort of day that screams out, "Look for the crocuses to pop." And yesterday was almost as nice. These are the kind of days that generally send my spirits soaring. So why did I wake at 5 a.m. with a feverish anxiety dream about the farm? Why were my sheep giving birth to rabbits? Why was a new dance venue opening across the street with, I was told, highly amplified music all night, which would not only make my home unlivable, but also deprive the farm, my biggest asset, of any value? Why was the order of everything unraveling, leaving me no safety net? Maybe because these balmy days are occurring in late January, not in early March. Had this weather come after a deep polar vortex or weeks of consistent cold, it would be a welcome reminder that winter is not eternal. But it hasn't. It's been warm. It's more like a reminder that winter has barely ever started. As of January 29th, New York City will have gone longer without accumulating snow than in any previously recorded winter. It may be a completely snowless season there. In Germantown, where we average 46 inches of snow annually, we've had no more than about 6 inches so far. Our small snowfalls were followed so quickly by rain or warm weather that I've only had to shovel the driveway once. Sure, February is usually the snowiest month, but I doubt we're going to come close to our annual average. Even the mountains up north have been unusually warm. Only Friday, after a few significant snow dumps, did Eric and I work up the confidence to commit to a few days of mid-February Vermont skiing. Otherwise, the thought of plunking down a room deposit seemed a bit like buying cryptocurrency, highly speculative. So no wonder I'm anxious. In the last few years, the social order and work routine as it existed most of my life was upended by COVID. The geopolitical order was shattered by Trumpism and Russism. And now, it turns out that the foundation of all life, the Earth and its atmosphere, is changing, perhaps sooner than we wanted to believe it would. If none of the order of your world is steady, how do you make life choices? Unfortunately, you have to assume that things will fall apart. Make your choices with all your worst anxieties always in mind. I'm convinced this is not only a human reaction, but is deeply ingrained in the entire animal world. I'm not the only uneasy one on the farm these days. My chickens, too, have had their world rocked by change and uncertainty, and I observe them reacting by assuming, similarly, that there is no safety net. You may recall that last fall a weasel was decimating my young chickens at night. While I was able to resolve that problem with careful caging, in the last couple of weeks a daytime threat has loomed over all the chickens, a very large and very present hawk, which I've seen eating prey on the ground near the pond, perching in a tree outside the parlor window, and swooping down onto the front lawn. While I didn't see it in the act, I'm quite sure it also killed two of my chickens and totally eviscerated one of them, eating all the meat off the bones. I found just the remains. I was pretty sure the hawk was the culprit not only because it's been so present, but because the rabbits and the chipmunks that seem to have been multiplying in the yard over the last couple of years have been scarcely observable lately. And also because of the way the chickens react whenever the hawk can be seen or heard above. They run into the coop and hide in the corner, preferably under a solid surface. I realized also that the chickens have become far more vulnerable to hawk than have been in several years. On his Thanksgiving visit, Perry, the son of my late partner Peter, enjoyed a chainsaw saturnalia which included radically pruning back the vines and branches that had covered most of the chicken coop's front yard. It left an open space for swooping, of which the hawk could now take advantage. I had hoped a scarecrow might help, but I read up, and one online post said it would only provide a better perch for the hawk to use to survey its prey. So instead, I decided to restore the netting that once covered the chicken's front yard at the level of the 8-foot fence. Last weekend, I pressed our visiting friend Paul, always an eager hand, into service. We shielded the open section of the yard, and at Paul's suggestion, added periodic yellow caution ribbons to alert the hawk that the netting was there. I'm pretty sure the chickens are once again secure from aerial attack, but they haven't figured that out yet. If they're aware that the hawk is observing them from the fence post tops or nearby tree branches, they continue to hide in the coop. I expect, after the trauma of the hawk attacks they witnessed, they will continue to do so until the hawk stops coming around. I get it. They have no reason to have confidence in their safety net. It's so hard to know in this world when you are secure.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.